Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, we're going to embark upon a study of Paul's epistle to Philemon. It's a natural sequence to our study of Colossians, since the two epistles are closely linked together, as we shall see. Philemon is the shortest of all of Paul's epistles, and I would have to say the most personal of Paul's epistles, though it is not the only one that was addressed to an individual, for we also have 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. But nevertheless, Philemon has almost all personal elements, as we shall notice as we move along, whereas both 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus have a great deal of doctrinal teaching as well. It is only one chapter, 25 verses. None of Paul's other epistles come even close to that shortness in length. Three chapters in Titus is the second shortest of Paul's epistle. But Paul had a very particular reason for writing this particular letter, and it does contain some doctrinal instruction for pastors and churches, but not much. It's really more by way of application than by instruction. It's really a personal appeal asking a favor from a friend. That's what it is. But there are so many helpful applications to various areas of teaching that it does allow us to draw a good bit of doctrinal instruction from the epistle. You'll find many references to the providence of God and to evangelism and to social issues such as slavery, as well as a number of illustrations of salvation that are excellent, some of the best you'll find anywhere in Scripture. But the basic nature of this letter must be constantly kept in view. It is a very neglected portion of God's Word, but it is included by the Holy Spirit in the canon of Scripture. It is an inspired portion of the New Testament, and therefore it deserves our reverential examination and application. So that's where we're going on this Thursday, and as some of you support us with your financial gifts and make this ministry possible. Well, let's consider first of all the background. What is the occasion for the writing of this epistle? The occasion is the welfare of a slave by the name of Onesimus, whose name means profitable, who had run away from his master, namely Philemon, to whom this epistle is addressed. Philemon was a Christian in the city of Colossae, and therefore a member of the Colossian church, one of the members of the church who would be sitting there in the congregation when Paul's epistle to the Colossians was publicly read to them. So thus you see the close connection and why it seems logical for us to move from Colossians to Philemon. But Onesimus, who had run away from his master in Colossae and run away to the city of Rome, came under the gospel, no doubt under the power of the gospel, as in some providential way he was brought into contact with the Apostle Paul. And after becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and having some time to spend with Paul in Rome in order to become more established in the Christian faith, Paul is sending him back to Colossae in order to make things right with his master. And so Onesimus manifests a transformed life. He gladly served Christ. He gladly served the Apostle Paul as a way of serving Christ. And he gladly returned to the city of Colossae in order to make things right, as he had stolen from his master and run away before his conversion to Christ. Thus we are encouraged by the message of the gospel. When Paul went to Rome under house arrest, he had no idea how he would be able to evangelize as he normally did as a free man in all of the other cities that he had visited. But here, as a prisoner of Rome, we have tangible evidence of the fruitfulness of his evangelistic efforts. The power of the gospel is not limited. The gospel was not chained. Paul was chained, confined to his house, but the gospel was free, and it found its target in the hearts and lives of men and women. And one of them we know a great deal about, namely Onesimus, who is the subject of this letter. We are also reminded of the power of the gospel to transform lives. When people are truly saved, when they are truly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not the same as before. It is impossible for them to remain the same as before. There will be significant and tangible evidences of their conversion. This epistle is evidence that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That was true of Onesimus. That was true of Philemon. That was true of Paul himself when he was saved. Dear friend, that is true of every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. If you have been truly saved, that is true of you. And if there is no evidence of a transformed life in your experience, then, dear friend, you must be born again. Except a man or a woman be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Onesimus has been saved, and he has been serving Paul, but something is still missing in his life. Something is incomplete in his transformation, and that something is his need for restoration. He needs to go back and make things right with Philemon. That's important for the sake of Onesimus. Legally, he is the slave of Philemon. Legally, he is under Roman law, and if he were discovered as a runaway slave, things would not go well with him at all. He could be killed, certainly, by someone who had malicious intent and discovered that he was a runaway slave, and certainly he could have been returned to his master under very unfavorable conditions. But legally is actually the secondary matter, because the most important thing is the spiritual consideration. Onesimus needs to make restitution. He needs to go back and make things right. He has sinned against Philemon. He needs to be restored. He needs to make restitution. So that's important for the sake of Onesimus, but that's also important for the sake of Philemon, because Philemon needs to demonstrate Christ-like love and forgiveness and willingness to restore Onesimus and to treat him not as a slave, though in fact he is, but to treat him as what he is in his new condition, namely a Christian brother. And furthermore, this is important for the church at Colossae. They need to see an example of Christian love and forgiveness in action. They need to see what it's like for a slave to become a follower of Jesus Christ and to return and make things right with the master that he has wronged. They need to see an example of Philemon, a member of their church, and let him demonstrate to them what a Christian slave owner does when his slave becomes a follower of Jesus Christ and comes back and puts himself once again under the authority of his former master. I wonder if you have some things you need to make right. I never know what's going on in the hearts of people in my congregation unless they tell me. But I have often wondered when I see people struggling with depression, for example, and sometimes struggling with other areas of their Christian life, particularly when I see people struggling with depression, I cannot help but wonder, is there something in their past that they have never addressed honorably as a Christian? They've never gone back to make it right. Now, I don't know that for certain, and I don't presume that that is so. I don't relate to them as if that's the problem. I know what's wrong with you. You've got unconfessed sin in your life. Or I know what's wrong with you. You've got sin in your life that you've confessed to God, but you haven't taken care of. There are areas of restitution in your life that need to be made. I don't know that. I can't say that. But if such a person comes to me and is seeking help for their depression, that's something I'm going to have to explore. I'm going to have to raise that possibility. Because I do recognize that sometimes depression is caused by an unaddressed area that needs restitution. Is that possible for some of you who are listening to the broadcast today? So, the occasion was sending Onesimus back to Philemon. But the opportunity related to the prison epistles that were written to three churches in Asia Minor to be delivered by Tychicus, a trusted co-worker of the Apostle Paul, who was the courier for several of these epistles. He was going to carry this epistle to Philemon. And therefore, this was an opportunity for Onesimus to return safely to Colossae with the supervision, with the protection of Tychicus, because if he went alone, he would be very vulnerable. As a runaway slave, if he were caught, found, he could be in great trouble, but traveling as a companion and presumably a servant to Tychicus, as it would appear to others in that day, he could travel in safety. And therefore, this was the perfect opportunity for Paul to send him back. It gave accountability to Onesimus to travel with Tychicus, and it also provided a certain level of accountability for Tychicus to have a traveling companion with him, so that it kept him on track to fulfill the assignment that had been given to him. You see, everybody needs accountability in our lives, and God has designed that in the relationships of the home and the church and in commerce and business relationships, as well as in government. And foolish is the person who rejects accountability and refuses to acknowledge it and submit to it. We need that. Yes, sometimes authority is abused, and when it is, then we have to respond to that in an appropriate way. But we all need accountability in our lives. And Onesimus did, and Tychicus did, and we all do. May God help us to recognize that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.